Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, we need to hit on that for a minute here. Is Davante Adams. And I wasn't joking before, Bob, when I said if he's watching that game last night, I don't think he's saying to himself, man, I'd love to play in that offense, especially if he's a rental player and trying to up his market here. There's a lot of questions. One is, does he have any choice? Like, if they traded him to the Steelers, he'd have to come here, but he might be a hostage rather than a volunteer. Do they want two unhappy wide receivers? Like, if you know he doesn't want to come here, are you trading for him anyway? You giving up that second round pick to outdo the other teams?
That's a good question. I would think, yes, I'd do it. You know, I don't like the money that's attached to him at all. I think it's difficult to, you know, go through with that beyond this season. But if you're trying to do something right now, he certainly would be an upgrade. I still wouldn't do it. I'd look elsewhere. I think there are other receivers out there who could be had without giving up. And they may, because of a bidding war, have to give up more than a second-round pick. People say second. It may be a couple of those, plus something else.
I mean, I'm looking to see if he wants to stay here. I have seen no slippage in Davante Adams' game. Keep hearing about this injury. As Mike Florio told the PM guys, the timing was awfully convenient on this. I'm not saying he's not hurt, but I don't have a whole lot of concern about that. I would want to know, does Davante Adams want to come here and sign? And I would try to get him signed. And if he doesn't, if I get word and I'm the Steelers that he absolutely does not want to come here, then I am not bringing him here. Not as a rental or anything else.
Yeah, but how are you really going to know that? If he does he have a say in any of this? Are you able to figure that out?
I mean, you always gauge with the agent and things like that when these scenarios occur, whether you'll be able to sign him to a longer-term deal, right?
He is 32 right now?
31, yeah. 30,
okay. I don't know. That could be dangerous, too. I'm not a big fan of that when you get into your, 32, 3, 4 years old.
He's never really had a major injury.
I understand.
He was unbelievably productive last year. I hear you, but it wouldn't deter me. You, Limits?
No, it would not. And I don't feel like the Raiders want to cave to Davante Adams' needs and wishes as well. I mean, Adam Schefter came out and just said on the McAfee show that he thinks it's going to be the Saints or the Jets.
Yeah.
Because they're both quarterbacks he's had relationships
but
with.
He
knows exactly what kind of offense they run.
But I've also read, where was it this morning, that he has concern about Aaron Rodgers not being with the Jets for a long time. He came to the Raiders and saw Derek Carr basically get kicked out of town. So he knows, or he should by now, that just because your favored quarterback is in a place, that doesn't mean they're going to be there for long.
And let's say you're the Raiders in this situation. I'm sure that they're not very pleased with Davante Adams and the guy who is a hostage and not a volunteer in that organization. So let's say hypothetically the Steelers give the best offer. If they put a two out there right now, and let's say that the Jets and the Saints are offering just a third-round pick, maybe throw in a conditional fifth. I feel like the Raiders would take the second-round pick and run and not worry about trading him to the Saints or the Jets and whatever concern that they might
have.
Right, but Adams don't like it.
I just think he has to factor into this. Not like, oh, they need to do him a solid here, but the team that's acquiring him needs to know what they're getting in terms of does he want to be here. And if you bring him here and he doesn't want to be here, then you have double the problems you already have at receiver. You just benched a guy last night. You know what I mean?
If he does not want to be here, then you can't make the move. But I'm talking about just from a Raiders perspective on the deal.
Okay, now the Browns. And by the way, Bob, as they continue to devolve here, I don't know that they would ever trade within the division, but if you're going to go 3-14, why wouldn't you to get the best pick? Amari Cooper would be high on my list.
Yeah.
High on my
list. That's what I'm talking about. I think there are other guys who would cost less and probably be
an upgrade. Yeah. Well, anybody would be an upgrade.
Yeah.
Anybody. But what about the Browns? What has Jimmy Haslam wrought here? Wrought is the word in many different ways. This is a disaster. They sold their soul for this quarterback. And listen, maybe one of the morals of the story here is if you're going to sell your soul for a quarterback, it better be a great one. Ben wasn't exactly having a wonderful career off the field early in his career, but the Steelers kept him. They kept him because he was great. Let's just be honest about that. This situation is so far beyond disastrous. I don't even know what word to use. It's basically ruining their franchise and their team.
And if Kevin Stefanski pays the price for it, I think it's just a complete football injustice because he was the guy who wanted, I think, to keep Baker Mayfield. It was Haslam and Haslam alone who just...
I don't know about that. He seemed to sabotage Mayfield at the end, too, by playing him hurt.
But I think... that's Baker Mayfield's problem, too. He should have maybe resisted that and said, look, I don't know if I can help the team. Whatever the case, they would have been better off with him. Haslam was the guy who wanted this to happen.
I still think
every owner in the NFL, along with the commissioner, are going to let him rot with this guy there. Because they know he went out of the context of how they normally do business with this exclusively guaranteed contract for a guy who had all this baggage.
He's got to get out.
And
he's got to get out of it.
Kevin Stefanski has to say what the owner has told him. He's your quarterback. What are you going to do?
Come out and say that, Bob, or he's going to get fired that day.
All right. Well, then don't blame him when things get to this point. But guess what? He may be sacrificially held up for this.
Oh, for sure.
And
for
it's
sure
not
he
fair
might
to
be.
Him.
And he doubled down on Watson last year.
Well, if your owner has gone this far out on the limb, what are you supposed to do?
I guess they should have kept Joe Flacco.
The football move is to move away from him.
You have to. It's to save your franchise.
Right.
It is. I don't care how much money is involved. Jimmy Haslam's a very rich guy. Write the check and get that guy out. Get him out.
It's just
start
you
over.
You made this mess. Clean it up. And the way you clean it up is say, here, I'm done with you. Take this.
You can feel that franchise rotting before our very eyes every week. It's like this is not going to get better. It's only going to get worse and worse and worse. Cut your losses, write the check, move on. But I don't think they're going
to
do that.
And on the 24-3 play where he's in there and they have 12 guys on the field, it's just the way he handled that.
Yeah.
His body language, he went over, he just took his helmet off. It's like, okay, you're supposed to be the leader of this offense. They've given you all this money, and this is what you show them in this moment. He's just a worthless quarterback, useless. They should cut a check, be done with him, and see what happens after that.
Well, you know what that check's going to be, Bob? How about his cap hit next year?
Yeah.
Well, Russell Wilson in Denver. They made a choice.
Well, that's $50 million. Try $73 million.
Right.
25% of their cap.
Yep. Write the check.
Not to mention the people they've given up or picks they've given up. You know, that they could have helped Baker Mayfield or anyone else for that matter as quarterback.
All right, back to the Steelers, and let's go with a little report card, Bob, shall we? We'll follow along with Ray Fittipaldo as we do every week. You can read his report card, postgazette.com. Quarterback, he gave Justin Fields a C-. What say you, Pump?
I say C, not minus, but C.
Really?
Yeah. I think a lot of this has to do with play calling and just the philosophy of not allowing him to do more things in the pass game.
See, I thought there were plays to be made. I thought he could have, with a little loft, as Collinsworth said, hit Mount Washington for a touchdown. I thought there were other plays down the field that he just was not accurate. He's got to take a little off the fastball. He should have been picked off. He had another fumble that he was very lucky to recover. I'll give him marks for the game-ending drive, but I'll give him a K on that one for Kenny. Kenny Pickett. That was just like a Kenny Pickett. It would have been a Kenny Pickett win on that one. So in the end, I think I'll give Fields, I'll agree with Ray, a C-. His first half was god-awful. And the second half was okay. And then he put a little punctuation mark at the end, an exclamation point, I should say, with that final drive. But that wasn't enough to salvage it. It just wasn't. C-. Running backs. Ray pointed out they play without Warren and Patterson, and the running game suffered as a result. Why should it suffer? You have with a guy you drafted in the first round to carry the ball 30 times if you want.
Bell cow, right?
It suffered because Najee just isn't very good. That's why it suffered. And I didn't think Fields had a great running night. He gave the runners a D. I agree with that.
Maybe D-.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was terrible, the run game.
The receivers, I thought Connor Hayward left a couple plays on the field. That ball should be caught. I didn't think it was a 10 out of 10 throw by Fields down the left sideline, but it has to be caught. And then another one he dropped where the player, it was right in Hayward's hands and the player knocked it out. And then Pickens was a disaster. This is an F. How do they get a D? I thought Ray was a hard grader, Bob. He gave him a D.
Yeah, I'd say F too. You can't have those kind of numbers and expect anything above that. So they failed in that department. Yeah, and the receivers right now are a big, big problem.
Offensive line, he says, filled with rookies and backups, but has to start playing better. He gives them a C-. I agree.
I agree too.
No
excuses. There's a little bit of a curve just based on the people. Like, you know, Mason McCormick is being thrown into this thing. Baptism by fire.
Yeah.
I understand, but I think I take it. That into account, which is why C-minus is appropriate.
Sam Mallow's back. He's their best guy.
Well, he got run over that early in the game.
I know he did.
Oh, my. It was Lindell Joseph. Yeah. I mean, geez.
Dan Moore's a Hall of Famer, easily, according to a lot of people. Sam Mallow's their best offensive lineman. Fraser is an outstanding rookie. McCormick is just a guard and looks like an okay one. And then Broderick Jones is a first-round draft pick who played last year. No excuses. Play better. I give them a D. Forget about a C-, a D. Defensive line, C-, Bob. Cowboys are one of the worst rushing teams coming into the game, says Ray. But the Steelers allowed them to run for 109. Hayward, he said, had some big pass rushes, but he didn't have enough help. He gives them a C-.
D.
I agree. Maybe a D-.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't good.
Ogunjobi had one play. Keanu Benton, he have a play?
Benton did not have much. I mean, he and Patrick Queen were names I didn't hear enough of last night.
And I worried about their depth at the beginning of the year on the D-line. I think I'm being proven correct here. Loudermilk had a blocked field goal. I know that. But they've been pushed around 2 weeks in a row up front. No. Give them a D, Ray. Come on. Is Ray softening in his old age limits?
Typically, he's the hardest grader of any of the teachers.
I know. What is happening here? Linebackers, he gives a B+. T.J. Watt did what he did. Of course he did. Herbig was great before he got hurt, or at least good. Elandon Roberts had a legendary play. Patrick Queen was just kind of there, like he always is. B+, what do you say, Bob?
I say B-.
Please explain
Jeremiah
yourself.
Moon is a linebacker. He was called upon to make a play, and he didn't over there.
Do you think that Moonstruck is an underrated movie, Bob, with Nicolas Cage and Cher?
I like Moonstruck.
I think it's wonderful.
And my favorite song is When the Moon
Hits the Sky Like a Big Pizza Pie at Samore. When you come in there, Limits, come in high if you would.
At Samore.
Yeah, that. We'll practice. Yeah, like a barbershop choir.
No, but I think I expected more. Yeah, I have to lump. If you're lumping them all together.
Was Cher underrated as an actress, Bob, or a singer, or both? Underrated or overrated, Cher?
I like Cher. As a singer, I did a lot.
Yeah. How about an actress?
Yeah, she was good.
What's that other one? What's her other famous hit? Cher's hit. The one that's really catchy. Somebody help me here.
I haven't heard her music in a long time, so I'm going to get a loss.
Give me a Cher song. A famous Cher song.
With Sonny? or no?
Well, you got... what's the one?
You, babe. I got you, babe. Yeah. You got me. Whatever.
That's a great wedding song, isn't it? You don't like that one?
You talking about Believe?
If you believe, do you believe in a love after love. Well, how does that song go, Bob?
I don't know. It's a good song.
Yeah, I like that one.
I can't think of another movie she was in. Was that the only movie she was in?
Oh, she's been in a lot of movies.
Yeah, but I don't remember her.
I actually think she's underrated as both a singer and an actress. She was great in Moonstruck.
Mm. Oh, she was wonderful. Played the role magnificently.
What's your next observation? Where were we?
Well, I just said I have to clump all these linebackers together. I did it separately, the edge rusher's fine. The middle, Patrick Queen, for what they're paying, I expected more. He may be okay, but I expect better than okay.
Of course, we all do. He hasn't done really anything yet. He hasn't. He's not exactly a guy who takes on blocks either, which we ripped Devin Bush for, right?
Yeah.
Secondary. Ray gives them a D. I think that's pretty generous.
I think
it's a D minus or an F.
But I mean, it's no better than that for sure.
Now, I guess the turnovers sort of mitigate the really, it was a full night of disaster, was it not? The guy went 29 of 35 or 29 of 42 for 355. They couldn't stop him at the end. Beanie Bishop had penalties all over the place.
And he went in the wrong direction in that game-winning score, I think. He went with Minka over the middle, which required then Deshaun Elliott to race across to get with Tolbert, and he was behind.
And on one play, he didn't know the guy was running right past him. Did you see that one?
Yeah,
he had his back turned and didn't know what was happening.
They may have problems with that slot corner position, and keep in mind,
Minka was horrible. Are we allowed to say that in this town? Because there's a lot of people who constantly run cover for him. Like, teams are afraid of him. They don't go at him. There's explanations why he hasn't, made a turnover-worthy play since what? Do you prefer since Mulsey had hair or since Moby Dick was a minnow, Bob? Which one?
I prefer the first one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He hasn't had a turnover since Mulsey had hair. And it's about time people stop defending him.
No, I mean, he's certainly not been worth the money he signed.
No, he hasn't been.
Not at all. I mean, if you give him that kind of money, you expect what you got. Not necessarily six interceptions in 1 year, but playmaking, game-changing playmaking plays at critical times.
Yes, and there's constant miscommunications, and he's the communicator on the back end. I would never doubt Minka's heart.
No.
His hitting ability.
It's
I
all
love
about
that
results.
Part of his game, but nothing's happening. So they get a D, I guess, because the turnovers, although that was more to me Prescott throwing them the ball than anything else. Special teams, Ray gives them a C. Bob? You had the block punt. Block field goal. Decent punting night for Waitman.
Waitman's been actually very good. Unnoticed because he's done a good job.
How does Devontae KZ get penalized on the opening kickoff, Bob?
Because he did move. You know, you're not allowed to make any sort of movement at all until that ball is caught.
I give him a C+. You?
I think that rule, by the way, has to be changed.
That rule stinks.
Dynamic.
Although last night there was a lot of returns in that game,
just,
and I liked it.
No, it looks statue. You know, people sitting around waiting. Come on, now, that's not football.
Coaching, he gives him a D. Come on. Mike Tomlin does not appear to have remedy for the slow starts, blah, blah, blah. The 3rd and 8 play, the timeouts. How does he get a D? He gets an F. They went against a Cowboys team, and I know the Steelers have injuries, but they're not missing T.J. Watt. The Cowboys were missing their T.J. Watt, plus 3 of their best offensive players, plus other guys were leaving the game, plus they're soft on their run defense, they're soft on their run offense, but that wasn't the case last night. The Steelers got completely out-schemed. They were pushed up and down the field the whole game. It should have been a double-digit loss, and they got lucky. Really, I think, to even have a chance, they couldn't stop him at the end. He had no timeouts left at the end of the game. He benched his star receiver for some odd reason, then didn't even admit that he benched him. This was a disaster, Bob.
Disaster.
This is an F.
I would say F as well, because I expect more.
Come on, Ray. What happened to Ray Limits?
You know, maybe Ray...
This is a kinder, gentler Ray Fittipaldi.
Maybe Ray was a little tired at 1 o'clock in the morning. And
is that it, Bob? Was he tired at 1 o'clock
in the
morning?
I mean, that can happen. I mean, you have to fight through this, you know. If I'm going to grade Ray, what would you give Ray for his grades?
Yeah, I hate to say it. Usually it's an A, but this week he went really easy. I mean, you lose a home game to that team and look horrible doing it. That's the thing. And that's why there may be a blessing here. But I don't think there will be, because I don't think the Steelers will admit that. You look at the game and you say, God, that was awful. Really, by all rights, we should have lost by double digits. And Tomlin's blaming the fumble at the end that they didn't recover.
Yeah, I didn't understand
it. See, that's where
that.
You leave yourself, Bob. When you muck it up and you bring a team like Dallas into a game like that and keep them in the game, it might come down to a bounce. Like last year's Cleveland game at home, where luckily the ball bounced right to T.J. Watt and he walks in for a winning touchdown. That doesn't happen all the time. Plus, you're ignoring the fact, if you're Tomlin, that earlier in the game, Justin Fields had a horrible fumble that he got very lucky to recover. Why isn't that a huge point in the game? Mm-hmm. You just talk about the fumble you guys didn't get. Point being, overall, when you ugly down the game and you're always trying to win that way, yeah, maybe it will come down to a bounce of the ball. And a lot of times you won't get that bounce, right?
I agree. Slow starts. If I had to put a synopsis on this whole thing, it still comes down to slow starts and expecting everything from your defense and nothing from your offense. Your expectations have to change.
Oh, it really drives me crazy. You mentioned the playoff numbers, that when they, in the years they do barely sneak into the playoffs and then get blown out. What is it, 62-0 early in games?
62-0.
That this coach who has presided over those kinds of starts in playoff games has the nerve to tell the world that starts don't matter. What?
He said they don't define the game, but yes, they do. They define.
In a lot of ways, they do.
They
actually
have to. When you fall behind all the time, it's defining the way you play.
Yes, in a lot of ways, it defined the Colts game, the game after which he said starts don't matter, insignificant,
right?
That defined the game last week in that a wounded, inferior team was guaranteed to hang around for the entire game, no matter what happened, because they jumped out to that kind of start on you because they were completely out-scheming you. And as Cam Hayward accurately said after that game, it leaves you no margin for error. So it absolutely does define a game.
Absolutely, it does. It makes you change, and now all of a sudden you're chasing again. Chasing. It would be nice to see somebody chase them and just
Wouldn't it be nice?
Your defense can catch a break once in a while when you actually have a 2-touchdown lead and you can go to work and pressure them, take more chances, and make big plays.
I mean, I feel like the last time I saw that happen was against the broken Bengals last year, and I don't even know if it happened then. Did they get off to a good start in that game? The Bengals had basically...
I don't think they've had many good starts at all.
They basically melted by that point in the season. You know what I mean? They had no Burrow. Yep. They had no nothing. You almost can't count that one. And you know they're going to keep the Raiders around this week. You know they will. We've mentioned it 8 times in the show today. The last time the Steelers went on the road, and they've played plenty of bad teams mm-hmm. on the road, the last time they went on the road and won a game by more than one score, if you're watching us on YouTube right now, you're driving around in your car, and you don't know the answer to that, take a minute and think. Last time they went on the road and won by more than a score, 2020. 2020, they went to Jacksonville and won 27-3. That is unbelievable to me, Bob. And they've been blown out plenty of times on the road, by the way, in the interim. Now, they win their share of road games. I get it. Enough to go 9-8 every year and sneak into the playoffs and get killed on the road. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the same thing. And when you play close games, you're going to win. You know, you should win a lot of them, but you're also going to put teams that don't really deserve to be in games.
Yes.
And when one mistake happens, like, for example, again, last night, I find Mike Tomlin said afterwards about not pouncing on the fumble at the end. Okay, but that's a luck situation. That has nothing
to
do.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
They talk about takeaways. Well, here's all you need to know. Only 16% of the teams that play the way Dallas played last night, which is to say, commit 3 turnovers, get none, 11 penalties, and a block kick. Only 16% of those teams that have had those stats have won games.
Yeah. By the same token, I would say the Steelers committed a bunch of idiotic penalties. They were lucky they didn't get another one because Broderick Jones came running in late last night.
Yeah, he was ready to
and hammered somebody, which would have been a very costly penalty. And also, Fields basically threw an interception that got dropped, and he also had a fumble that he had a miraculous recovery on. So it wasn't like they were really taking care of the ball either.
But having said
and,
that,
and if you're a coach,
you and I are not willing to move on from Fields this week,
not
correct?
Yet. No, I'd give, but the hook would be awfully quick next week. Justin Fields had a chance to announce himself to the world as being way different from the guy in Chicago. Tens of millions of people watching last night. Mr. Big Chest himself, Antonio Brown, predicted an MVP-level performance. Justin Fields had a chance to win and keep this quarterback job last night, to show the world he wasn't that guy in Chicago, that what everybody was saying so far this year is true, that it's different in Pittsburgh, it's different with Mike Tomlin and Arthur Smith and a staff that knows what they're doing. And instead, he did the opposite. He left all kinds of doubt.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go 5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyway, Bob, it's been a very, enjoyable in one way. I mean, it's been a lively show, but the Steelers are coming off a rotten loss. But let's talk about something that we really should have gotten to earlier, and it's my fault we didn't, because there's so much talk of the Steelers. Man, it's time to start talking about Pitt. I was waiting until the ACC schedule started. I don't care if North Carolina's not good. Pitt has now had their first unbeaten non-conference schedule. They're 5-0 for the first time since 91. They beat North Carolina at North Carolina for the first time ever. This is fun. We can dream now if you're a Pitt fan. Whether it's realistic or not, you can dream now because you're 5-0. We just had Paul come in here and say, what if it was a Pitt-Penn State playoff game?
I would love that.
You're allowed to dream about all of this. Eli Holstein is on some people's Heisman watches. This is fun.
Penn State's up to number 4. Pitt's at number 22. You know, this game coming up this week against Cal is going to be interesting. Cal is going to be on a real downer after they blew a 25-point third-quarter lead to Miami, who came back and won that game 39-38.
Yeah.
But Cal and SMU are good teams based on what you've seen so far.
Right.
And if they should win that and get to 6-0, and this ACC is doable. You know, they have critical games at the end. They have Clemson at home. Clemson's,
has a chance to be a really great atmosphere.
But, yeah, their run defense has got to get better, and Eli Holstein can make up for that. And he started slow the other day, throws a pick six, comes back, and dominates the rest of the game. So,
was he fun to watch or what? I'm sure he'd like that last pass by the goal line back, but who cares? But, He's been incredible. He makes every kind of throw. He throws on the run, keeps his head downfield making plays. He has a nice little touch. He can run on his own when he needs to. Bob, he might be a star. All I've ever asked, why can't Pitt have one year where people are allowed, and even the Pickett year when they lost to Western Michigan, you had to think, it was a great year, don't get me wrong, but if you're unbeaten, 5-0, 6-0, 7-0, 8-0.
Slowly moving up.
Yes, all the teams in the old Big East at least had that one year where they could dream of the biggest title of all. South Florida had a year like that. Rutgers had a year like that. Cincy had the year like that where they came and won at Pitt that year.
Gilliard.
UConn. Pitt never had a start like they haven't been 5-0 since 91. So this is fun. I like this.
I do too. And I think, again, the ACC is not a deep conference. I think they can have success. Penn State can afford one loss, and I still think we'll get into the playoff. It would be wonderful to see that as a possibility. I don't know how it all would figure out.
There was one guy on ESPN. They had all their people predict playoffs. Every team that would get in the playoffs, one guy had Pitt. So people, at least there's one out there.
It starts, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single win in non-conference play and moves to the ACC, and then it picks up steam.
We'll be talking about that as the year goes on. Limits, would you like to share a quick thought about that?
I would love a Pitt-Penn State playoff game. God. That would be insane.
It would be at Penn State.
Would that be great, Bob?
I don't know
Who do you think would win? Well, how are they going to arrange it?
Oh, yeah, you're right. Because if Pitt won the conference in the ACC, they didn't get the bye. So, yeah, it would be at Penn State.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's cooking? Brought to you by our local GEICO rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High of 65 today with cloudy skies. Bob, I can't tell you how nice I think you are. What a man.
Well, I think the same of you, Joe. It's a pleasure to sit here, look across, and then look over to my right and see city limits. So look forward to doing it every Monday.
He's growing into a fine man, isn't he, Bob? He's going to make a good mark on this world.
I think we're kind of like important people to him too, right?
Very.
Yeah, we're role models for him. Would you agree with that, Limit?
1,000%.
I did everything for Molly.
He did nothing for me. Yes. Thank you, Limits.
Thank you very much.
Bob, good night.
Good night.
The Good Feet Stores. Wait, I just did weather. Yeah. Let me tell you. I just did the Good Feet Stores.
No.
Didn't I?
Gina.
Yeah, feet, yeah,
I love
weather,
the Good Feet Stores,
you
but you have me off schedule now.
Tim Hester, too.
Oh, Gina.
I've done everything for Mozzie. He done nothing for me.
That was fantastic, wasn't it?
There he is. There's Malzy right there.
You want to play both of these for Malzy? He can judge them. Malzy, yes. Come on. Step in, my friend. Bob and I have each sang a Rick Springfield song with your name in it. You're going to hear my best and Bob's best, and we want you to judge it. Bob, Bob, give him some headphones, would you please? We're in a hurry here. We're going to get in trouble. We want to treat the PM guys the way they're supposed to be treated, which is with immense respect. Malzy, do you have headphones on?
Now
he does. All right. Let's play that for him. And let the man himself play Bob's, mine
first
and Bob's second. Here we go, Malzy.
I've done everything.
Oh, wait, I can't hear. These headphones aren't working.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Hold on.
We'll do this tomorrow.
Why don't you tell us about Gina first, Joe?
Thank you, Limits. I will tell you about Gina.
Now I can unfortunately hear.
Now Malzy can hear. Play it for him.
I've done everything for Malzy. He's done nothing for me.
And now, Bob.
I've done everything for Malzy. He's done nothing for me.
The ending. Well, you go ahead. You're the one. You're the topic here, Malzy.
I think you should both be jailed.
Bob, your ending was spectacular. Congratulations on that.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.